I just want to take a moment and give special thanks to my daughter's friend, Lori. Hi, Lori. Thanks. Seriously. Because of you, Jenny refused to sleep with her dolls, and that includes the stuffed animals that she's loved intensely until you had to make up all those stories. That's right. That's right, Lori. You made a fellow six-year-old too afraid to sleep with any of them. You're a terrible little girl. Not long ago, Jenny told me that Lori had been making up horror stories about dolls. I didn't think much of it. There's a lot of creepy dolls out there, even at a kid's age. They're more than likely to be going to endure some of them in those TV shows that they watch. But it was whatever. It was fine. What pissed me off was when I found out Lori was making things up about the American Girl ones that Jenny has. Now, she'd tell her stuff like, Samantha's gonna eat your cat, and Addie wants to kill your dad. And the one that really got me angry, Kirsten made your little brother sick. And that's why he died. Now, first of all, I don't know why Lori's mother would have told her about Michael's death. That happened 4 years ago. I was hoping Jenny had been too young to remember the worst of it. Well, she did. Thanks, Lori. And after that, Jenny came to me and said that she didn't want any of the dolls in her room. They're too scary, she pleaded. I don't want them to hurt us. My outward reaction was one of understanding. I comforted my daughter and I took the American Girl dolls out. I put them in the spare bedroom. Still getting used to calling Michael's room that. Internally, I seethed. Who the hell was this kid to say these things to my little girl? She wouldn't be visiting us anymore. I decided that. It was bad enough they had to see each other at school. And things went okay for a week or so after that, and I was hoping that I could move the dolls back into Jenny's room soon. That hope was dashed the day that Jenny came home sobbing. Dad, my stuffed animals are gonna crawl down my throat while I sleep. They're gonna choke me and then bite my belly from the inside. I did a very poor job hiding my anger, and I regret how that frightened Jenny. See, from her point of view, it must have looked like I was interrogating her. Who told you that? I demanded. Is that Lori kid telling you more of those horror stories about dolls? Through tears, Jenny nodded. I'm calling her mom, I announced. This is bullshit. I dialed Lori's house and waited for her mother to answer. With 10 rings, she did. I explained what was going on. She was silent while I talked, and after I finished, she hiccuped and began ranting. She sounded drunk. This is none of your fucking business. I can't help it if your kid's a fraidy cat. Maybe if her mom was still in the picture, she wouldn't be so fragile. Now fuck off. She hung up. I was stunned. My view of the kitchen reddened and tilted, and a shroud of rage enveloped me. Patricia, Jenny's mom and my wife, took her own life after Michael's passing. It was on what would have been his 10th birthday. Her loss had devastated me. If it weren't for Jenny, I would have no doubt followed her off that bridge. I couldn't get Lori's mother's words out of my head. I tossed and I turned all night, dreaming of ways that I could hurt her, and I thought about setting her car on fire. I thought about making an anonymous complaint to her about her job. I thought about breaking the windows of her house. But I knew those wouldn't have solved anything. The thoughts were cathartic fantasies. Nothing more. I hoped this would be the end of all the unpleasantness. But it wasn't. It never is. The very next day, Jenny arrived home with a cut on her forehead. I was aghast. Goodness, honey, what happened? Nothing, she answered, staring at the floor. Jenny, please, who did this to you? I fell on the playground. It's obviously bullshit. I called the school. I demanded to talk to Jenny's teacher. She got on the phone and tried to explain. I'm sorry nobody called you, Mr. Benson. The nurse's aide was supposed to, but the injury didn't seem major. Kids get scratches all the time. I did my best to remain calm. What happened? Like I said, she fell on the playground. I asked if anyone pushed her. She said no. She just slipped. Alright, well, who was playing with her? Her friends, Lori. Did Lori do this to her? The teacher paused. Look, Mr. Benson, Jenny would only say that she slipped. A boy who was on the other side of the playground did say that Lori tripped her on purpose. But he's been known to make up stories. I promise I'll keep an eye on their interactions, but I really think your daughter just fell. But I'm sorry the aide didn't call you. I'll be sure to tell the nurse. I hung up without saying anything else. That little boy hadn't been making it up. I knew Lori had hurt my daughter. She got bored telling horror stories about dolls and moved on to hurting Jenny directly. No fucking kid was going to hurt the one person I had in my life. Jenny was crying on the couch when I finished the phone call. I tried to comfort her. I wrapped my arms around her, which seemed to help for a little while, but she began sobbing anew when I started talking about school. She was afraid to go back. 6-year-old, and afraid to go to school. I was getting close to losing it. Jenny, can I do anything that would help? I grasped blindly for a solution, and I made a terrible mistake. Here, honey, try this. 1 minute. I rushed upstairs, and I returned with one of the American girls. I was praying that she'd fallen back on the positive memory that she had with the doll, and was able to take some comfort in it. Here you go, Jenny. Addie, your favorite. The words were barely out of my mouth before Jenny started screaming, "Get it away, Dad! Get it away! She'll hurt you! Lori said Addie will kill you!" I couldn't help myself. Tears welled up in my eyes, and I bawled. I cradled Jenny in my arms. We held one another for a while. And eventually, she fell asleep. I carried her to bed, and by the time I tucked her in, I knew what I had to do. I made sure to lock the front door before I left. Lori's mom was easy. She was pissed drunk, and anyone would assume she fell down the stairs and broke her neck. But the mom wasn't who I cared about. It was Lori. She wasn't easy. She was effortless. Back home, I had one of the busiest nights of my life. In the end, though, it was worth it. I greeted Jenny in the morning with a bleary-eyed smile across the breakfast table. "You look sleepy, Dad," she replied. "I am, hon. I was up all night."
"Up all night?" Jenny exclaimed. "What were you doing?"
"Well, I was doing something for you," I grinned. "Want to take the day off school today?" Jenny beamed.
"Yes, please."
"Good. I want to talk to you."
"Okay,"
she said. She sounded happier. Happier than she had been in a while. "I know Lori told you all these horror stories about dolls. I know how much they scared you. And that's okay. It's okay to be scared. But the best part about being scared is getting to be brave again. I know you're a brave girl, right?" Jenny nodded. She looked curious. "I need you to tell me something, sweetheart. Did Lori hurt your lip? And I promise I won't tell your teacher or anyone in your class. It can be our secret." Jenny gazed at the tablecloth. "Honey?" She raised her head and looked me in the eye. Then she nodded.
"She tripped me and pushed me while I was falling down. She said if I told anyone, she'd tell her mom that you did something bad to her when she was here last month. Sorry I lied."
Tears ran down her cheeks. My heart was breaking. "It's okay, love. I swear it's okay. Look, I've got something very special for you. But I'm going to need you to be brave, okay? Can you do that for me?" Jenny wiped her eyes and nodded.
"Yeah."
"Okay, good. Just close your eyes. I'll be right back." She did. I scurried down to the basement and I returned with what I had been working on all night. "Keep your eyes closed, my love. I'm going to put something on your lap and I don't want you to be scared." Jenny tensed.
"Is it Addie?"
she asked.
"I'm scared of Addie."
"No, Jen, it's not Addie." I placed it on her lap. "It's someone who will never hurt anyone. Never again." I paused and I studied my sweet daughter's angelic, innocent face. "You look so much like Patricia. Open your eyes, beautiful." She did. The hollowed-out carcass of Lori sat where I perched her. Jenny's eyes widened.
I was terrified she was about to yell, but in the following seconds, a wave of serenity washed over her.
"Lori?"
Jenny asked. The dead little girl didn't reply, of course.
"Lori,"
Jenny repeated, this time in the tiny left ear of her former schoolmate. "She's like Lori. But she'll never hurt a fly.
She'll never tell you horror stories about dolls. She'll never trip you on the playground. She's just like Addie and Samantha and Kirsten and all of your stuffed animals. She's there to make you feel good, comforted. No matter what. Jenny touched Lori's eyes.
They're soft,
she remarked. I nodded. She's so much more realistic than your other dolls. I'm gonna keep working on her so she stays fresh for you, okay? Jenny played with Lori's hair, put her hand in her mouth, felt her throat from the inside. A small dribble of clear reddish fluid oozed from the slit that I tried to close. Oh, oops, I announced with an overdramatic flair. Clean up an aisle, Lori. We both giggled. So do you feel better about your doll friends, honey?
Yes, Daddy,
Jenny said. She pushed her finger into Lori's ear. It went all the way to the last knuckle. Good girl, I told her. You know all the horror stories about dolls are fake, right?
Yeah.
You want to move your American girls and stuffed animals back into your room after breakfast?
Yes, please.
I grinned. Okay, then. That's what we'll do.
Dad? Can I sleep with Lori in my bed?
For as long as you like, beautiful. For as long as you like.